Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, March 13th. This is your boy, Matt Shook. I'm an AP freelancer in Chicago covering the NBA, been a Pistons fan my whole life, and been a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And the Pistons have their first of six out west tonight. But first, we're going to be talking to you about why an old friend will be a thorn in the side of the Pistons for the rest of the season. And then we're going to talk about those Utah Jazz that the Pistons will be playing at tonight and what to expect with this six-game road trip coming up. And then there's some big news about the Big Three coming to Detroit, and also some big news within the organization as well from Monday. If you don't know about the Big Three, you missed out last summer. It was fun to watch it on TV a little bit. I didn't get to check it out here in Chicago, but you guys in Detroit will get a chance to do that this summer if that's up your alley. And then also we're going to let you guys vent a little bit about the Detroit Pistons season, sharing a couple of the essays and audio clips that I asked for last week as well. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about the Pistons. But hey guys, it's time to talk about the boatload of money that you can make this week betting at MyBookie. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action, because if you have not noticed, later this week there's a little bit of thing called the Madness of March, and that's here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops as the NCAA tournament gets underway. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? That's why you should join MyBookie today. I would only be recommending a service that's been good to me and our listeners, and that's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay, fast and without any hassles. I'm telling you, you are just wasting your time if you're betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so if you screw up the first one, you can fix it up and double down on the rest of the game. So after tip-off, jump in there and get a better bet. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Go ahead and visit mybookie.ag today. Play, win, and get paid. But mixed results and reviews for the Pistons on Monday night around the NBA as they keep alive their playoff chase hopes, at least on this podcast and maybe within some factions of the fan base. The good news was that the Miami Heat lost 115-99 out west to the Portland Trailblazers, bringing the Heat back into the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, now five games ahead of the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons can thank Dame Lillard for a lot of that. He had 32 points and 10 assists. Dame is climbing into that group of not really quite, but MVP contenders in name only, who are kind of maybe on that second level of contenders, just because there kind of has to be other quote-unquote contenders besides James Harden, who's pretty much locked up the award already for the Houston Rockets. We talked about DeMar DeRozan of Toronto kind of being in that group last week as well. Like I said, Harden has pretty much already won the award, but then you got, you know, probably Anthony Davis at number two, who can really actually still be called a contender at this point. And then after that, you got guys who are contenders in name only, and maybe Dame Lillard in that group, along with LeBron and Steph Curry and Durant, who neither of those guys will or should win as Golden State Warriors, that they teamed up. That's the consequences when you make those kind of decisions. You don't get the individual accolades. And then, like I said, DeRozan's in that group, and Giannis is probably at the bottom of that group as well. And then maybe another level down, you got guys like Kyrie Irving and Russ Westbrook, and maybe the injured Jimmy Butler from Minnesota is in that group as well. But speaking of Giannis, though, the bad news for the Pistons on Monday was that Milwaukee, as expected, they won, topping Memphis 121-103. So that means that Milwaukee leapfrogged Miami, and they are now in the seventh place in the Eastern Conference, 5.5 games ahead of Detroit. So pretty much Milwaukee and Miami switch spots in terms of their jockeying with Detroit. No surprise there for the Bucks win, as Memphis has now lost incredibly 18 straight games. So Tankathon is definitely in full effect down in the dirty South. The surprise was who the spark plug off the bench was for the Bucks: Brandon Jennings. Yes, that Brandon Jennings scored 16 points, had 12 assists, and also 8 rebounds in 24 minutes off the bench for the Bucks. After the game, he talked about to the media how he finally feels like he's recovered from that nasty and out-of-nowhere 2015 Achilles injury that he had for the Pistons, ruining that season that looked like it had a little bit of promise there for a while. The Pistons got him, Jennings, in the summer of 2013, packaging Brandon Knight and Chris Middleton. I wonder what happened to that Chris Middleton guy, by the way. Oh, yeah, a near all-star right now for the Bucks, and I saw a stat on him, by the way. Middleton has now reached double figures in 61 of the 67 games this season for the Bucks, and has reached at least 20 points in 34 of those games, so over half of the Bucks games this year. So lighten up the scoreboard, the former Pistons draft pick right there. As for Jennings, he was eventually traded at the deadline by the Pistons 2 years ago. And what doesn't that seem like a lot longer than 2 years ago, by the way? I mean, just 2 years ago, Brandon Jennings was traded. Feels like a lifetime. Anyways, Jennings was traded with Ersan Ilyasova, who has played, I think, with every NBA team since then. And the Pistons picked up Tobias Harris from Orlando. What has happened to Tobias Harris? I don't know. Who knows what's happened to Tobias Harris? But anyway, Jennings ended up with the Knicks and then the Wizards a little bit last year as well, and then was playing in China this year before returning recently with the Bucks G League team, and now here we are. Just an incredible story, and hopefully if you can get past the disappointment of him getting hurt with the Pistons and now kind of doing his part to derail the Pistons, whatever hopes they have left this season, but hopefully you're like me and kind of rooting for Brandon Jennings, who was a great player, and not a great player for the Pistons, but a good player for the Pistons and a solid citizen and all that good stuff. Certainly the Pistons could use him right now, as a lot of you or some of you were suggesting on Twitter and the message boards earlier this season. And if you're one of those people, props to you guys, by the way. It looks like you may have been right, but instead he's now on the 10-day deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. But as we've talked about on this podcast, the schedule is very easy right now for Milwaukee, but will get a lot harder after that. So you got the Bucks at Orlando on Wednesday night, and then at home against Atlanta on Saturday. But unfortunately, we're so late in the season that math-wise, the Pistons need at least one of those two teams to pull the upset. A four-game winning streak for the Bucks right now, which is what that would be if they get the two more wins. That just might close the door on the Pistons as far as possibly catching the Milwaukee Bucks, as the Pistons figure to maybe get some losses here on the West Coast in these next 11 days. But yes, of course, somewhat appropriate that it's Chris Middleton and Brandon Jennings, who were once traded for each other in a deal that involved the Pistons, will looks like to contribute eventually to driving down the stake into the hearts of Pistons fans as the 2017-18 season looks to be on life support and nearing its last breaths. But we're going to be talking about the Utah Jazz and what to expect from this six-game road trip after this. But a reminder that if your company wants to reach men 18 and 44, then they should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. And let me remind you about how provincial and loyal Detroit sports fans are. If you want to reach those Detroit sports fans who will reward your company for taking a chance on this podcast, then you should get in touch with me. And plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
You know, I heard your old coach, Larry Brown, he's on a Locked On Network podcast. He said, I might be just getting too old because I hate it when I hear people say the Pistons didn't have any stars. He said, Chauncey Billups was a star. Mr. Wallace, he was a star. You agree?
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I can go 2 hours talking about my Pistons team.
Who's that? You know who that is. That right there was Doris Burke and Chauncey Billups talking about our interview with Larry Brown last week. Thanks to Doris for bringing that up on Sunday's broadcast of the Lakers-Cavs on ESPN alongside Chauncey. I'm just going to pretend that Doris listens to Locked On Pistons every day. So what's up, Doris? And thanks to her for that. And thanks to all of you for listening. Hundreds of you listen every day, and I don't take that for granted even more than hundreds of you listen when there's big news like the Larry Brown interview or the Blake Griffin trade. So tell your friends about Locked On Pistons and support our sponsors. And let's keep this thing rolling. The more listeners we have, the more sponsors we can get, the more that you support those sponsors, the more that they come back. And that means I can cut back on the other stuff in my life and spend some more time on this podcast, connecting with you guys, add a little bit of writing to the website and other ventures as well. As many of you know, this is just a side project for me. I have a full-time job outside of the business right now. I'm also writing as much as I can for the Associated Press as a freelancer and doing all sorts of other endeavors as well. So help me out and let's make it so I can spend more time covering the Pistons for you here on Locked On Pistons and other places as well. I got a lot of big plans for the podcast for the summer and also for 2018-19 and what should be a crucial year for the Pistons, one that you guys will be zeroing in on with hopefully the return of Reggie Jackson, whatever big moves happen this summer as well, if there are any. And maybe I'll be able to get up close and personal covering the team next year, and we'll see about that as time goes on. But the Pistons playing at the Utah Jazz on Tuesday night, a 9 o'clock start Eastern time against Donovan Mitchell and the Red Hot Jazz. 11 straight road wins for the Jazz, which is completely ridiculous. Good thing for the Pistons that they're going to be playing in Utah, which is something you never say. You never say good thing that a team's going to be playing in Utah because it's an impossible place to win. The Jazz overall have won 18 of their last 20. And by no means this is the game that Detroit is expected to win by any stretch of the imagination. They remember that January 24th game in Detroit where the Jazz inexplicably rallied from a late 9-point deficit, sending that game to overtime and getting the win. That layup that they got from Rubio into Joe Ingles for that awkward layup that ended up tying the game and sent it to overtime. Completely ridiculous blowing of a game for the Pistons then, pre-Blake Griffin trade. It's going to be one of those games that Pistons fans will be pointing to on the schedule for reasons this whole thing went south. The other night, Donovan Mitchell had 27 points, and that was his 34th game with 20 or more points this season. Does that sound familiar? Because that's exactly the same amount that Chris Middleton has for the Milwaukee Bucks this season, who we talked about a little bit earlier. So drive the needle and the knife even further into the stomach and the midsection of Pistons fans. As the Chris Middleton and Donovan Mitchell scoring barrages continue. But the Pistons, by the way, have not won two in a row since early February, and that sounds bad. It is bad. And no word yet about Reggie Bullock's status after Sunday's car accident that he had in Metro Detroit. He's got some back spasms, so we will see if Bullock will even be available. But the good news is that Reggie Jackson, as the Stan Van Gundy said the other day, could be back sometime on this road trip. Certainly not for this opener tonight against the Jazz, but if he gets back into form at practice and gets out there in full drill and full contact mode, possibly he could be seen by the end of next week. But we will see on that. Pistons, 8-point underdogs to the Utah Jazz. And as far as this road trip, the beginning of a six-gamer, these West Coast road trips aren't the places where you make up games in the standings. It's more of a weather the storm type of thing. And that would be the case under normal circumstances, but obviously for the Pistons, desperate times right now, they need to not only be weathering that storm, but gaining ground, if at all possible, to keep their faint playoff hopes alive with 16 games left in the season and a 5-game margin to make up with the 8th spot right now. After tonight's game, the Pistons will be in Denver on Thursday and then Saturday in Portland next week. It's a back-to-back with Sacramento and Phoenix to start the week. And then Houston, who is inexplicably everyone's pick to win it all right now. Not everyone, I shouldn't say that. But I'll be reminding a lot of you about that in May and June, about this period here in the spring and or late winter where all the numbers people and many of you also talked about how the Rockets were the team to beat, by the way. So remember about that. But if you look at what the Pistons needed to do during this six-game road trip, you've got Houston as a loss that you can mark up by any reasonable stretch of the imagination. And then you got to hope that those games at Sacramento and Phoenix against teams that are tanking, albeit the fact that it's on a back-to-back. Despite that, you got to pretty much, if you have any kind of hope for this year, that they got to get those wins. They got to beat Sacramento and Phoenix. So that's two wins and one loss if you're optimistic about that back-to-back. Now look at tonight in Utah, Thursday in Denver, Saturday in Portland. Those are places that the Pistons just do not win, and nobody wins, really. You talk about Utah, that is one of the strongest home teams year in and year out. Denver's got the elevation, obviously, that everyone talks about. Thankfully, the Pistons won't be on a back-to-back in Denver, as the numbers as far as the Nuggets being at home on a back-to-back against tired teams dealing with that elevation without any recovery or chance to adjust is pretty much astronomical. But still, the Denver Nuggets are a team that's a force right now in the playoff picture for the Western Conference, along with Portland. I mean, there's such a logjam. I think Portland's third right now in the Western Conference, if I'm not mistaken. As you get below Houston and Golden State, that's a huge logjam of teams from 3 to 10. So everyone's desperate for wins. Everyone's jockeying not only for position, but to stay in the Western Conference playoff race. So Denver, Utah, Portland, those three teams that the Pistons have to have wins against are at home in places that are nearly impossible to win as a road team. And, you know, just hopefully, and they're desperate, like I said. Now, under normal circumstances, in the normal part of a season, I'd be looking at this road trip and saying, you know, 2-4 isn't the worst thing in the world. That's pretty good. 3-3 you'd be lucky to get one of these wins against Utah, Denver, and Portland, and then losing to Houston and then beating Sacramento and Phoenix. So 3-3 would be great if you were a Pistons fan, you know, say in December. But right now, the Pistons need to find a way to win 4, maybe even 5 of these games. And I laugh as I say it because it's ridiculous to think that that's going to happen. But it would be well served for the Pistons to get some revenge on that January game and somehow get a win against Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz tonight, and then find a way to beat either Denver or Portland this week as well, or possibly even both. Again, all as unlikely as it might be, these are the circumstances that the Pistons have right now. It's dire. For the Pistons right now, the chances of making the playoffs with these last couple of days with wins by Milwaukee and Miami on Monday, I'm sorry, by Milwaukee on Monday and Miami over the weekend, the Pistons' chances, despite Friday's win against the Bulls, have fell down from 3% to 2%, according to 538.com. So now those chances are officially lower than the chances of hitting the lottery and landing a top 3 pick in the draft lottery, which is coming up as well. So that's a 3% chance right now. So that, if the Pistons obviously get their pick in the top 3, they keep that first-round pick, and it kicks down to next year where the Clippers would receive the pick next season instead. So as unlikely as the Pistons hitting the lottery and getting one of those top 3 picks, it's even more unlikely that they make the playoffs at this point. And I understand, again, as listeners, you might even be listening to this a little tongue-in-cheek, but we're going to talk about magic numbers. We're going to be talking about the math as the season goes on. And hopefully one of these days soon, the Pistons can get an unexpected win, and maybe a team like Orlando and Atlanta can come through against Milwaukee, and maybe the Heat can struggle a little bit here going forward, and that 2% chance of making the playoffs can hopefully climb up into the high single digits or maybe even double digits before we start getting crazy and thinking about a miracle run like Stan Van Gundy and the Heat had during his first year as a head coach with rookie Dwayne Wade in 2003 that we talked about a little bit last week. But I want to thank you guys for following me on social media. Listen to me, or follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also follow the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And also give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons -Matt Shook. But we're going to be talking a little bit here about the Big Three, some big news about it coming to Detroit, and then some other big news about one of the NWA members and how his relationship with the Big Three is continuing to evolve. But I'm also going to let you guys vent a little bit and pass along a couple of responses from two of the biggest Pistons fans I know. But another thing I need you guys to do is listen to the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. The Combine, the Draft, all that stuff. Free agency. Eric Ebron's on the trading block. Free agent running backs coming in. DeMarco Murray's a name thrown around. Jonathan Stewart, I believe, as well. All sorts of old guys in their 30s thinking about coming and toting the rock for Matt Patricia and the D. But check out that podcast every day, and also the other NBA podcast as well. We got a fantasy podcast with Josh Lloyd. I'm going to have him on a little bit later on in the week as well, and also one for every NFL team and some other MLB teams starting their podcasts as well. So the Locked On Network has you covered, your team, every day. Ice Cube in the news with regards to the Big Three. In addition to being a founder of the league, the famed rapper and originating member of NWA, and one of the better rappers from my childhood. In addition to being the founder of the Big Three, he is now the commissioner of the league as well, hopefully on an interim basis, temporary basis. The barnstorming 3-on-3 league that started last season with a pretty successful run, a pretty entertaining product if you were able to check it out some during the summer. The big news had to do with the fact that Commissioner Roger Mason Jr., the former player in the NBA, he was ousted as commissioner, and now we got a little war of the words between him and the league. Not exactly East Coast versus West Coast rap quite yet, but we'll see if it gets to that level someday. Mason is alleging that the league has a, quote, hostile and racist, quote, end quote, environment. He alleged that an N-bomb was dropped by one of the league's co-founders. According to the Big Three side, their side is saying that Mason had some shady dealings with some investors from Qatar, and those Qatari guys were some of the investors of the league, and Ice Cube and them, I guess you could say Craig and them, based on their his Friday character. They say that the Qataris owe the league millions from the first year. It's just all great. I mean, there's nothing to not like about this story. I guess there are some things to not like about this story, but just all great from sitting on the sidelines here. And speaking of sitting on the sidelines, Detroit fans, you have a chance to see it up close and personal, and why wouldn't you? The 10-week season announced their schedule on Monday, and week four is going to be at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit, July 13th. Get your tickets as quickly as you can. Hell yeah, I will be there, God willing. Some of the names that the league is touting for this year, Meta World Peace, who has a history in Detroit, as you might remember, Amari Stoudemire, Glenn Big Baby Davis, Nate Robinson, Baron Davis. I mean, so many bad contracts from the ends of those careers on those lists. Now, a lot of great basketball, obviously, played by those guys as well. But as a Pistons fan, don't you just shudder at the thought of Blake Griffin one day being among those type of players that you think of, oh my, do you remember that the Pistons owed him hundreds of million dollars for years after he was, a very useful NBA player? But along those lines, I asked you guys for your thoughts on this Pistons season, where it's headed, what to do with Stan Van Gundy, et cetera, et cetera. And here's what some of the things that you came up with. First, we're going to go with Brishon Miller, a proud Detroiter out in Philadelphia, on where this team is headed. Take it away, Brishon.
Hi, I'm Brishon Miller. You may recognize me from such tweets as the one on TNT last night they used to roast Shaq. But seriously, don't fire Van Gundy unless you have a permanent coach in mind. We've done the interim coach tanking thing by just hiring bad coach after coach for 5 years. We did that already. If you have a Fizdale or a Vogel or somebody on lock, go for that. But Van Gundy got us to an important stage. He got us from very bad but not the worst to mediocre but not good. But that's an important stage. And made some savvy trades, too, up until the necessary Blake Griffin gamble. That's how you win in Detroit. Joe Dumars, Trader Jack. So turn the front office over to Bowers and the guys who've been doing the real work and let Van Gundy finish his term. Oh, and another thing. Every time Reggie comes back from injury, the whole team changes, so you don't know what you have yet. Too many hasty decisions in a row put you back in the David Kuster years.
That is my guy, Brishon, out in Philadelphia. Thanks, buddy, for your support of the podcast, and thanks for reaching out about the assignment for you listeners as well. And I will correct him, though. It was John Kuster and not David Kuster, but who cares? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's John Lawyer or Maurice Cheeks or Lawrence Frank or all the names, Michael Curry, even the post Flip Saunders names that the Pistons rolled out there until Stan Van Gundy took over. But now we're going to go down under. My guy, Daniel Filipovic of Australia. And if you think you're a big Pistons fan, Daniel's son is named Isaiah. And I'll give you one guess as to what Isaiah, the young man down in Australia, is, who he's named after. But here's what Daniel has to say. I just don't see anything but a middling team going forward without any way to really improve, even with Reggie back. I wasn't a fan of the Blake trade and being locked with no options, really, if it didn't work. Would much rather have kept Tobias and the pick going into 2018-19. Blake is giving little more for twice the price. Stan Van Gundy, I really like, however, he has failed to get this team to play for him. Many more coaches get far more from far less. The message he is trying to convey just doesn't reach the players, and there are plenty of questionable game decisions. Add to the fact that these are all his guys and he's got to go. Problem, then, is this team once again stuck with little ways to improve the roster. A new coach might at least get a little more out of it. I don't see a great future until the team can rebuild following the expiration of some of its large contracts, especially Blake, that nobody will take on. The Pistons reached and gambled, and Stan Van Gundy was in job-saving mode, and both will be losers very soon. Hard to argue with that. End quote for Daniel there, but hard to argue with the negative perceptions out there going on to the message boards and listening to fans and going on Twitter. It's hard to be anything but negative about this team right now, and I completely understand where you guys are coming from. But still, we got to trudge on here with Lockdown Pistons. Maybe it'll be a little bit more of a support group community going forward. But if you got some thoughts that you want to email me, some audio, email me some text, and I'll read what you think about the Pistons going forward. We can get through this together. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Or, of course, reach out to me on any of the social media places where you know to find me as well. But we're going to be talking about the game against the Utah Jazz. We'll keep a close eye on that one tonight and see if the Pistons can pull the upset as the 8-point underdogs here tonight in Salt Lake City. But give us a follow on the Lockdown NBA Network Twitter feed as well at Lockdown NBA Net. I got some other guests coming up later this week that I'm excited to share with you guys as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, and all the support that you give the podcast. Really appreciate that. And we'll talk to you all again very soon.